We can find the answer by looking at the cross and looking at Jesus' attitude when he died on the cross. And so that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. We're going to talk about how the cross helps us with our unity as a congregation. And it does say some very important things about that. You know, today's kind of an interesting day for us here at Lakeshore. We began the groups this morning. And that really was the last thing of all the things that we worked on this year, that we wanted to look at our church. How could we improve? We've done a lot of new things this year. And we've worked on it, you know, long and hard. I mean, here it is, June 2nd. No one's going to accuse us of jumping into something, right? 5 months to finally get it all implemented. But with the groups this morning, you know, we finally implemented a lot of new ideas that we wanted to try. We have a new schedule of services. We no longer have a general assembly of the whole congregation on Sunday evenings. We have the daily Bible review, which is a good opportunity to study the Bible and to go through the whole Bible story this year. We're almost halfway through. And again, I think it's a good time to jump in today. We have, for a long time, wanted to have a young man come and work with the congregation during the summer. And this year we're able to do that. William's here with us. And I think everybody's really enjoying him being a part of our congregation. And so, you know, it's a lot of new things that we're trying. And it wasn't easy, you know, to get all together on these projects that we're trying and these new ideas. But we've finally gotten to that point today where really everything that we've tried to implement has fallen into place. I want to mention one other thing real quick while I'm thinking about it, and that is next Sunday afternoon, Ed Painter wants to have a brief meeting after the morning assembly to talk about the church website, about, you know, what are you getting out of it, what is working for you, what would you like to see, you know, available on the church website. And he's going to be working on that in the next month to kind of revamp that for us all. And so if you can, you know, stick around a few minutes, especially if you're interested, next Sunday morning when we're done with our morning worship. And so that'll be something else, you know, that's good and new and hopefully will be a blessing to our congregation. A lot of changes that have taken place. What I want to say about all that is simply this, that, you know, all of these things are now taking place. We've worked hard. We've got to this point. What are we going to do now? And I want to encourage you by this lesson and the example of Christ we're going to talk about, tied in with the Lord's Supper, but we need to work together. We need to put our heart and our soul into the work of the congregation. And we need to do it with a good attitude. And the story of the cross really tells us about the kind of attitude that we need to have in our fellowship with one another as a congregation. You know, it's really amazing when you study the story of Jesus being betrayed and being arrested, the very night that he was there in the upper room with his disciples, instituting the Lord's Supper, washing their feet, telling them that he's going to die. The Bible tells us, Luke 22:24, that the disciples, and these are the 12, this is the apostles, were arguing with one another at that very moment, in that very precious hour. They were arguing about what? What were they arguing about? Who's the greatest? Can you imagine that? We're talking about Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip. They were arguing with one another. Who's the greatest among us? I'm greater than you. No, I'm greater than you. Can you imagine that? The apostles of Jesus. He's carrying this burden about he's fixing to die on the cross. You know, he's fixing to make the sacrifice that this memorial today, we're fixing to observe, you know, is all about. And they're arguing about who is the greatest? And, you know, I think about that a lot. I just can't imagine, you know, Kevin and Dwayne and Sandy arguing about who's the greatest elder. Does that conversation ever take place in y'all's private moments? I don't think so. Or anyone here arguing about I'm greater than you or I'm better than you are. But we're going to look at a passage now in Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there, that I think shows, though we may not argue specifically, you know, verbally talking about I'm greater than you, a lot of those same attitudes do creep into our fellowship. And he says the cure for this is to think about Jesus and his attitude when he died on the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Nothing. through selfish ambition or conceit. But he says, in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Stop right there for just a moment. He begins this paragraph with a series of rhetorical questions. Let's see if we can get the answer, okay? Is there any consolation in Christ? What do you think? Any? A little bit? What do you think? There's a lot of consolation in Christ, is there not? That's what it's all about. Comfort that we receive because of God. Is there any comfort of love that we enjoy because we're Christians? Is there any? Yes, that's what it's all about. Our life has meaning because we know that God loves us. Is there any fellowship with the Spirit? That's what the Bible promises us. Is there any affection and mercy? Do we enjoy any of these things because we're Christians? Absolutely. God has poured all of these things out on us abundantly. We have consolation. We have comfort. We're assured of God's love. See, that's what he's saying. He's saying, if God has done anything good for you, here's what you can do for him. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. You need to have the same love. You need to be of one accord. You need to be of one mind. I don't know how to express that. Maybe something like, you need to be on the same page. You need to all be together. You need to have unity. You don't need to be fighting and disagreeing with one another. A little bit later in this same chapter, he says, do everything without complaining, without disputing, so that you can be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. We need to do all things without disputing and complaining and murmuring, he says. A good example of this is in Romans chapter 14, and it says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Sometimes we do way too much judging of every little thing in every other person's life. And in Romans 14 he says, who are you to judge another servant? Something really fascinating about Philippians to me is to think about how this church started. If you go back to the book of Acts, the first convert was a jailer, a Roman jailer. Okay, think of this hardened Roman soldier. The second convert was a woman, a businesswoman named Lydia, a Jewish businesswoman. I want you to stop and think about the challenges of getting this Roman jailer and this Jewish businesswoman together as the beginning of the church at Philippi. I mean, such contrasting backgrounds, personalities, customs, habits, religious perspective, and yet they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, we come from diverse backgrounds and different perspectives, but we need to be, like he says, like-minded. We need to appreciate one another. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Look at verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing we do should ever be motivated by just trying to promote ourselves. But look at this, he says, in lowliness of mind, each one of us, that's every person here, should consider others better than himself. And then he goes on to say, look out not only for your own interest, but look out for the interest of others. Don't you think if we really did that? I mean, it would just be smooth sailing as far as the fellowship and the congregation. I don't think any of us do that perfect. But if we considered others better than ourselves, if you considered every person in this congregation, and really when you thought about it, you know, they're better than I am. I'm aware so much of, you know, my own weakness, my own failures. Instead of thinking I'm better than someone else, they're better than I am. That's the attitude that he says we need to have. In lowliness of mind, humility. Well, how are we going to do that? This certainly would be the key to a smooth sailing, successful fellowship in a congregation. Here's what he says, verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you. Here's how we do it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness as a man, he humbled himself, it says, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What Paul is saying here is, if you want to understand how to have wonderful, beautiful fellowship with one another, you need to look at Jesus, and you need to look at His attitude when He died on the cross. Just like last week we said, if I want to learn how to be a good husband, I need to look at the cross. Because it says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. And the example there is being willing to sacrifice for what is good. Likewise, if we want to be good brothers and sisters in a congregation, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about his humility. The problem is, we think we're better than others. Or we think we're smarter than others. Or we think we're more important than someone else. He says, no. Let each esteem others better than himself. Think like Jesus. He says, you need to have this mindset. Think about it that way. This is our mindset. It's the mind of Jesus Christ. He was God, but he humbled himself. Someone called this the story of seven demotions. If you look closely, seven times he humbles himself. He steps down lower and lower and lower. And the reason he does it is so that he could save us from our sins, so that he could set us free. And before we take the Lord's Supper this morning, the point is simply this, that none of us are as important as Jesus. True? None of us are as holy as Jesus. None of us have near the authority that Jesus has. None of us has even close to the wisdom of Jesus. And if he was willing to stoop down like this, to serve sinful man, even die on the cross for their sins, wash the feet of those disciples who were arguing about who's the greatest, how much more should we be willing to humble ourselves and to serve one another? It goes on to say, therefore God highly exalted him. God rewarded him because he was humble, and he promises he'll reward us if we will humble ourselves. But the main point this morning is that he did this for us. He did it for our sins. What I want you to think about is, if I'm continuing to have a disruptive relationship with someone, and I'm not being humble and I'm not being forgiving, really I'm making it hard for people to go to heaven. That's really what's happening, because I'm not encouraging them, I'm discouraging them. We're not setting an example for the world, we're setting a poor example that's going to turn them away from the gospel. And just like Jesus did this to help people be saved, that's why we should do this. It's to help people be saved. And so before we partake of the bread this morning, let's just think about, this great sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we can be saved from our sins, but also how it's an example of the attitude that we need to have toward one another this morning. Let's bow our heads now and give thanks for the bread. Our great God and Father in heaven,